We learned about things that were commanded for us to do because we now have the heart of God. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the heart of God. That's what growing in Christ is all about, that we are becoming Christ. As we talked about over here in 2 Corinthians, that we are in the presence of Jesus, and because of being in the presence of Jesus, we become more and more like Him every day. Now, ladies, fear not. You're not going to grow a beard. And guys, we're not going to have to let our hair grow long. Or run around in bed sheets and sandals. That's not what it means to be in the likeness of Christ. But let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen? So by learning His Word, studying His Word, coming to a church that preaches the Word, then what happens is we begin to find out what the heart of God is. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And it's the same way with God. We see God, we recognize God, because we see what His heart is as it's revealed in His Word. All right. So last week we started talking about the things that God expected of us because we now have the heart of God. And last week we learned that we are to bless. Amen? We are to bless others. We have been blessed, and so we are to bless. And the question that I raise so many times, what do you have in your hand? Because God is going to require that of you. He is not going to come up to any one of you and say, next week I expect a check for $1 billion in the offering. Why is He not going to do that? Because ain't nobody here has $1 billion, or you're all holding out on me. Okay. All right? He is not going to require from you that which you don't have. But what you have, He does require. Moses, in his whole life, all Moses had was a stick. And that's what God required of Moses. You take that stick, and with that stick, you're going to lead My people out of bondage. Amen? And so now that we have the heart of God, we are to bless. And we closed the message down last week with how do we bless? With that same measure that we blessed, it will be measured back to us. And so I closed the lesson last week saying, I want to get me a big old bucket. Because I want to take the blessings that God has given me, and I want to pour them out by the bucket on everyone around me. Why? Because then that means that God's going to use a bucket to bless me again. And I have found out, and Terry and I have found out, you can't outgive God. You can't. Man, He paves His streets with gold. We use tar and rocks and concrete here on this earth. God uses gold. We put gold in vaults. God paves His streets with it. Amen? You're not going to outgive God, whether it's in your time or your finances, your prayer life, whatever it is, you're not going to outgive God to show grace. And what is grace? Grace is just the favor that God has already given us into His life. For by grace are you saved through faith. Why are we saved? Not by works, but by grace, the unmerited favor that God has already poured out in our lives, God wants us to pour that out in other people's lives. Why? Because we have been given the heart of God. The heart is the source of all of our emotions. The heart is the source of our love. Amen? And so it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. Amen? So we have now the heart of God beating in us. What are we going to do with it? We are God's representatives on this earth. When He's going to reach out and bless somebody, He's going to do it through one of His children. Amen? And so that's what we left off last week. What we do, what we are commanded to do, because we have the heart of the Father. Now today, we're going to continue on with three things God does, two of which, you know, we're forbidden to do. Wait a second. We were supposed to do these things because we have the heart of God. Well, There's two things that we are forbidden to do, all right, and there's one thing that we are commanded to do, all right? The ones that we are committed, that we are commanded not to do, require the mind of God. And we don't have the mind of God. We've got the heart. We don't have the mind. See, with God, He looks at us and He sees everything. The good, the bad, the ugly. In some of our cases, the bad and the ugly. There's nothing good there. Amen? Only what God has accomplished in my life is worth bragging about, and I didn't have anything to do with it. It's what God has done. Amen? And so, we can't know the things that God knows, because He's omniscient. He knows everything. And so there are two things that we can't do, because we don't know. Okay, and so in verse 37, here we are, we're still in Luke chapter 6, in verse 37, He says, "Judge not, and you will not be judged." Okay? And this is talking about judicially looking at something and distinguishing and deciding. And man goes by the outside. Have you ever heard of anybody being improperly imprisoned because of something they didn't do? But the court decided they were guilty. And only after DNA evidence or a new witness shows up do they find out that this person who has been in prison for years is actually innocent. See, that's why humans can't judge. Because we don't know everything. And so we're commanded not to judge. And that's why if you ever serve on a trial, they'll ask you not to judge, but they'll ask you to look at what the prosecuting attorney has presented and does by what he has presented, not on anything else, by what he has presented, is it true or is it not? Is it believable? Is it acceptable or not? Because even human minds know that we can't look at the heart. Amen? God looks at the heart. So we're three things. Two of them we're not allowed to do. Don't judge. And if we don't, then God says, "I'll not judge you." Alright? How many of you want God to look into your deepest thoughts and give you what you deserve? Everybody raise your hand. Not me. I'm not interested in God's justice. Oh, I'm a God's justice for other people. Strike them dead, God. Turn them into a pile of ashes. No, no, no. But me? No, I don't want God's justice. I want His mercy. Amen. And so, we don't have the mind of God. And so, we are commanded, don't judge. Well, that takes about half of a good Christian's fun away. Isn't that where gossip comes from? Isn't that where fighting and all sorts of people being just, you know, just unhappy in church? Amen? Because we don't see like God sees, but we want to judge like God judges. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to that says, "Well, Pastor, I'm not supposed to judge people, but the Bible says we're supposed to look at their fruit, so I'm the fruit inspector." And I tell them, "Well, there's something fruity about you, all right, but yeah, it's not, you know. We are not the fruit inspector, all right? You make decisions whether you want to fellowship with somebody or not, but you keep your mouth shut. You don't judge them and then turn around and demean, you know, their reputation because you think something about them or if you determine something about them." When Terry first started having medical problems, I can't tell you the number of people in the church that came up and said, "Well, we just don't know about you with all this judgment going on in your life." Now, she said, "No, with all this judgment, you two got to be the greatest sinners on the face of this earth." And we started feeling like old Job did. All right? We were being judged, not by the world, we were being judged by the church. All right, if you've got this much bad going on in your life, you must be a secret sinner. And I tell you what, it so affected Terry and I that we would sit in our bed. We went through everything, every possible sin that we could have committed. Then we started making sins up. Lord, if in a moment of unconsciousness I became, you name it, a mass murderer, then forgive me. You know, because, you know, here's these people that you kind of look up to, and they're convinced that you're the world's worst sinner because of what's going on in your life. They can't see my heart, and they can't see your heart. Amen? And so we just need to leave our opinions to ourselves. Amen? Let people live their lives. Let your brothers and sisters in Christ, well, they don't go to our church. Well, that's fine. God never said that He was going to make us the only church on the premises that had the true believers in it. Amen? Everybody's going to be surprised when you get to heaven, because there are going to be some people there that you would have sworn up and down would never make it. Would never make it. The Climby kids made it to heaven? Oh, that's not fair at all. Yeah. All right. And then we'd better be careful, because we just might be the ones that people say, well, I would have thought for sure they would have been here. All right. A lot of people, because we can't see the heart. Only God can. We've already made judgments in our heart of hearts. Who's good, who's bad, who's saved, who's not. It's going to be a big surprise when the roll is called up yonder. There's going to be some people on that roll that we would have sworn to our dying breath never would have made it. And there's going to be some people that we would have just naturally assumed they were going to be there. Because you don't see the heart of God. The other thing that He says is, condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Alright, see, judgment is one thing, but now you gotta finish out, decide what the condemnation is going to be for that judgment. And see, we can't send people to hell that we might believe need to go to hell. And so what we'll do is we'll create a hell for them right here on this earth. Backbiting, gossiping, things like that. No amens. Interesting. Is that an oh my that I hear? Amen? That's something that happens. I don't know what motivates people other than jealousy, other than pride, or whatever, to decide that somebody's gotta suffer. For what I see as a failure in their life. Well, we need to remember that what man sees as a failure, God doesn't necessarily see as a failure. Amen? Somebody just might be going through a time of testing that God has got His hand on, just like Job was. So two things we are absolutely forbidden from doing. We can't condemn. And we can't judge. Because we don't have the mind of Christ. Or the mind of God. We do not know what is going on in somebody's life. But there's a third thing. Because we do have the heart of God, we can forgive. We can forgive. Forgive means to be fully released, present tense active, which means we're doing it right now, and it's in the imperative. By the way, I've got all of this here. If somebody wants to see how in-depth the Greek goes, I can make copies of this for you. All the stuff that's in red is the actual Greek word that was used. And when we're told to forgive, it is to fully release, present tense, which means do it now. I'll forgive them when I'm good and ready to. No. Now. We dare not carry unforgiveness in our lives. Why? Because in the manner that you forgive, you'll be forgiven. And we've got a whole lot to be forgiven for. We do not need to turn the tap off on God's fountain of forgiveness. Amen? Present tense active, imperative. Any English majors here that can tell me what the imperative tense is? Do it. Do it. Don't think about it. Don't debate it. Do it. Because we have the heart of God. Amen. We have God's heart. And every beat, it should be pumping some forgiveness into our heart, through our body, and out our mouth. Amen? Forgive. Right now, imperative, do it. And you will be forgiven. Fully released. Future tense, passive. What's the passive voice? I didn't have anything to do with it. I am forgiven because God has forgiven me. Passive tense, not because of what I earned. Passive tense, I was totally passive in the whole transaction. It's what God did for me and what He's promised. Future tense, He's going to do it for me and continue doing it until the day that He comes back and I don't need forgiveness anymore. For we will be perfect and we will be like Him, for we will see Him face to face. Amen. And then we got into give, and it will be given to you, good measure, shaken up, pouring out into your robe. Will I cause? Let me get to the last page. Men to give into your bosom, for in the same measure that you measured, it will be measured back to you. And it's so funny. I have seen ministers that haven't been faithful with their tithe. Now, just so that we understand, what's the difference between tithe and offering? Two different things. A tithe means a tenth. A tithe is something that God says, this is how we run the church. Okay? And that's what we take up when we take up the offering. Alright? And offering, when we pass the plate. Alright? But over and above the tithe, there is the offering. And the New Testament and the Old Testament, the offering was given not because it was demanded of by God, but the offering was given because that's what your heart said, I want to give back to God. Okay? And so when we talk about wanting to give so that it's measured and given back, that's on the part that isn't required by God. That's on the part that God says, oh, you're just doing that because you love me? Oh, that is so cool. I'm sure that in the old King James language, they have different words for it. But in today's language, you know, you say, welcome thou into the joy of your Lord, you know. I think when God looks at us and He sees us sharing His love, not because we owe it, but because we've been filled with His love. And so what we receive, we give out, because we're only going to receive more in return. And so, you know, we love even the unlovable, because at one time, weren't we the unlovable? Oh, I was going to tell you about the preachers that Carrie and I knew. And they never put anything in the offering plate. They both had jobs. Never put anything in the offering plate. And you could always tell when they were in a financial bind at home, because that's when they'd start putting stuff in the offering plate. And they figured that now God had to bless them because they were putting stuff in the offering plate. Okay? What they were actually trying to do is buy God off. Okay, God, I need your help now. So now I'm going to be faithful with you. See, God knows the difference between a faithful life and a wishy-washy life. Amen? And we are in here because we love God. This is where we are when we can. Okay? There are some of us that have a rough time getting here. But this is where we are on Sunday morning. Why? Because where else would we be? We love Jesus. He has done so much for us. We're going to gather together with people of like Christian faith, and we're going to open up God's Word. We're going to learn, and we're going to grow together. And like I said, oh, it's gone. Like I said up here on the thing, we're on our journey to glory. Amen? You know, Terry likes road trips. You know, let's go to Austin. And I'll say, road trip! And yes, here we go, we're going on a road trip, alright? Well, guess what? We're all on a road trip. Amen? We're on a road trip to glory. And as best that I can make sure, in the power and responsibility that God has given me, I want to make sure that every one of us here makes it to the end of that road trip. Amen? Because that's what's happening. That's what we are doing. We are meeting here, not out of an obligation, but because of what God has already done in our lives. Amen? That's the heart that God can bless. Not someone who's trying to manipulate God. Alright? Well, we really can't afford it, but we can't afford not to either, so let's go ahead and write a big check to the church. That doesn't fool God. Alright? You know, oh my goodness, did you see who gave? Quick, give them back the 1,000-fold return. Oh, the Bible only talks about 100-fold. Give them back the 100-fold return. That's not what that is all about. We give because that's what's in our heart, not because that's what we're trying to use to buy off God. Amen? So let's remember, because we don't have the mind of Christ, we don't judge, and we don't condemn. Right? But because we have the heart of Christ, we forgive. Well, Pastor, they don't deserve my forgiveness. They haven't said they're sorry yet. The Bible doesn't say that they have to say you're sorry. If you want to be forgiven of God, and believe me, there are things that I do daily in my life totally unconscious to the fact that I've done them that I'm sure just irritates God to no end. What is that little moron doing now? Alright? And I'm sure that that's that way with all of us. It's just little things that we get to doing something and we do something contrary to His will or whatever it is. And I'm so glad that Jesus forgives me and I don't have to fall to my knees every time Jesus forgives me. I want to make sure that I do get the books clean at the end of the day to cry out. But, you know, we don't forgive people only after they've come to us. If we want God's unmerited favor in our lives, then we have to show God's unmerited favor in other people's lives. Amen. Why? Because we have His heart. What does that mean? For God so loved the world that He gave. Love is an activity. It's not an emotion. Amen. Father God, thank You so much for Your love today.